The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
So you want to hear something funny is, you know, I've been trying to like exercise more and trying to get into better shape. So we got this membership to the Y, and they have this cool like app where they can, like, if you use their equipment, the special like e-gym equipment, like it measures like, you know, your progress throughout time and stuff like that. And so it tells you what your bio age is, like what your age is based on like your metrics, not like what your actual age is, like how old your body is. so it's funny because like my
body, 60 apparently.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not great, Bob. My bio age is like, it's better. It was 45 at one point, not good. But now it's down to like 42, which is much more acceptable, but still not great. And then they have a breakdown where like they can look at like your body, your different areas of your body. So like in my upper body, it's crazy. My age is 25, which is pretty funny. And then my midsection is like, you know, 42. And then my legs are 51. And I'm like, what? Like,
Everybody always skips legs.
I didn't have strong legs. I think I was 51-year-old legs.
What's your groin area? Prepubescent.
It's either prepubescent or 65 with ED. Thanks, Mike. So,
hi, I'm Bills defensive end Greg Russo, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills!
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills Mafia. Welcome to another episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I am your host, Nate. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We have a tremendous episode for you all. We are going to discuss, we're going to get into the precursors of free agency. We're going to discuss all the lists of the available free agents for the Buffalo Bills, the folks that could be leaving, potentially leaving during free agency this offseason prior to March 13th. We're going to talk about a few important dates also. Then we're going to prioritize the players that we'd like to keep. We'd like the Bills to keep on the roster based on need, based on position. And then we're going to start our preliminary Bills biggest positional need list, which we will take as a podcast into free agency and into the draft. But first, I'm joined by my co-hosts, John and Mike. We are 1 week out from the Super Bowl. The offseason is officially started now that the Super Bowl is over. John, I'll start with you. How are you feeling as a Bills fan? Are you optimistic? Are you a little meh? Are you still in a rut from the end of the season? How are you feeling?
Super optimistic. I am ready for next season. I think
next year could be the year. I'm ready to go.
I like it. Like it. John's in a good place. Mike, how about you, man? Good?
Absolutely. I'm excited for next year. I think core comes back, and I love the team.
You know, this is looking at the free agent list. I'm getting the sense that we're not going to get a lot of these guys back. I mean, we're $50 million in the hole, which, you know, they can definitely make some moves to eradicate that and make some space. But they're not going to sign a lot of free agents. I think they're going to go a lot of bargain shopping like they did last season, where they'll get a guy, you know, after the first few weeks of free agency, like maybe like a decent like $5, $6 million a year guy, but nothing like what we saw the last, even like with like a Leonard Floyd signing. I don't think we're going to see that. And not only that, I kind of get the sense that they have, what do they have? How many draft picks do they have this year? 9, 10?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know if the compensatory picks have been announced yet, but they should probably get one for Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah, exactly. They have, the Bills should get one for Tremaine Edmonds. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9, and then they'll probably get a 10th for Tremaine Edmonds. They will, no matter what. We're just not sure. We're just thinking it's a round 3 pick. We're not sure. So 10 draft picks. I could easily see 8 or 9 of those guys making the roster this year compared to previous years where they've had to cut guys just because there's no room for them. Signed to their practice squad where they end up getting, like, a guy that comes to mind, I think a player that they wanted to keep, they just didn't have room for, was Alex Austin, their 7th round draft pick last year. He ended up getting signed by the Steelers. He had an interception against Josh Allen in the playoffs, like as a rookie, like that was a guy that they wanted to keep and they couldn't. This year is different. Like they'll be able to keep out of their 10 picks, probably 8 or 9 of those guys. And that might be a good thing. Like maybe they just, you know, they put some emphasis. And if Bean keeps hitting on these draft picks, like he has, you know, last year, first and second round picks were really solid. That might not be a bad thing. So first, let's go over the pending free agents for the Buffalo Bills. Let's start off with wide receiver. We're losing Trent Sherfield this year, Gabriel Davis. Gabriel Davis, probably one of the biggest names that we're losing on either side of the ball to free agency. Quinton Morris, a tight end. He's the only tight end right now that's leaving via free agency. Micah Hyde at free safety. He's free safety, isn't he? They haven't listed strong safety on here. He's one of the biggest, you know, holes that's going to be left there. Micah Hyde, Taylor Rapp at safety as well. Taylor Rapp's a pending free agent. Well, let's go over to running back, Damian Harris, Latavius Murray, Ty Johnson. At quarterback, we have Kyle Allen leaving via free agency. At defensive end, Leonard Floyd. And then we also have a defensive end, A.J. Epinesa and Shaq Lawson. So some pretty big names there at the defensive end position. A lot of guys have made an impact at the position in one way, shape, or form. Maybe not super consistent all the time, but you know, you're talking about Leonard Floyd, a double-digit sack guy from last season. It's a pretty big loss. On the linebacker side, we're losing Tyrell Dodson, who really came on strong in the second half of last season, in a role where Matt Milano wasn't able to be on the field. Tyler Matakevich, the special teamer slash linebacker, even though we never really saw him at linebacker. Guard David Edwards. Then we go into defensive tackle. We have Daquan Jones leaving via free agency. Tim Settle, Linval Joseph, Jordan Phillips, Puna Ford. And then we also have Dane Jackson and Cam Lewis. So cornerbacks, Dane Jackson, Cam Lewis. There's some decent players that are leaving via free agency. Like this is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of, this is going to be the first season where we actually lose some players via free agency where you're like, oh man, that kind of stinks. Like Tremaine Edmonds was the first real loss, I feel like, on either side of the ball in the Bean McDermott era. They've really done a good job of keeping that core group of players together, but this is going to be different. So, John, Mike, I'll start first with like one of the players I'd actually like to see kept on the roster. And this is like my biggest priority. And there's a few players that I actually would like to keep, but this is the highest one. And that's Daquan Jones, defensive tackle for the Bills. I'd argue that he's probably the best one-tech defensive tackle the Bills have had since Sean McDermott. I mean, geez, I'm trying to think of the best defensive tackle. I know Kyle Williams wasn't a one tech defensive tackle. So I'm thinking like before him, geez, I mean, Marcell Dareus in his prime or Ted Washington or someone like that. Like, it's been a long time. Pat Williams, maybe one tech. I don't know. It's been a long time. Daquan Jones is the best player. I know he's turns 33 this next year, but he's my biggest priority. John, I'll go with you next. Is there, do you like Daquan Jones? And is there another player you'd also like to keep?
I agree. Despite being 32, I think Daquan Jones, as far as guys that are losing to free agency, he's in a tier by himself. So I'd go with him. And plus, it's a big need because Ed Oliver is the only player on the roster going into next year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not only is his impact on the team, but he's a good player at a position where, like you said, they have one defensive tackle. I just listed off between him, Tim Settle, Linval Joseph, Jordan Phillips, and Puna Ford. I mean, they're losing five defensive tackles, you know, on this roster. That's a lot of players. At any position, you lose five of them. And at any given time, like, they were getting snaps throughout the season. Sure, not all of them were active each week. There were some injuries, like Jordan Phillips was injured for a minute. Daquan Jones was obviously injured for a minute. And that might be another reason. Like, you're looking at Daquan Jones, like, SpotTrack has his market value at $6.8 million per year. Now, I don't even know if that's fully taking into account the injury that he had this last season. You might be able to get him for a little bit less, and he is 33, or he is 32 this year. So, I mean, you might be able to get him at a 1 or 2 year deal for, you know, six or so million a year, which I think would be worth it, in my opinion. Mike, do you agree with that one, or is there someone else on the list that you kind of liked or might want to keep?
Yeah, I don't disagree. Where are we on Micah Hyde, though? It's just, it felt like he was done, but I don't want him to be done.
I'm not ready to let him go.
I was assuming he was going to retire, but I don't know. He's had a lot of like neck injuries and things.
Nate had a lot of back things. He's back.
He's 33. Yeah, I'm definitely not playing football. Not with these 51-year-old legs. This is he's 33 right now. I mean, would you keep him? I don't imagine he's going to get a lot on the open market. Maybe he will. Let's see what his free agent market value is, because let's say he would come back for like this has his SpotTrack has him as like $3.7 million. Let's say you could get a 1 year deal out of
definitely
him for $3.7 million.
Yes.
Would you do it? Yeah. Let's say you can't get Daquan Jones back and you have to
get the band back together one more year.
But that band didn't look great back there. they were okay, but it's just like you're,
yeah, even Poyer has lost a step. You can see it. And he's had a lot of injuries in his career.
Yeah, and they might not even...
Safety is going to be one of their biggest needs going into next year.
Oh, man.
Keep the veteran leadership and just draft. Let somebody sit and learn.
So at safety, John, their only players that they have coming back are Jordan Poyer and Damar Hamlin, right?
Yep.
So and, if you...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Not counting the future reserve players. Yeah.
Those guys won't even make the roster.
Yeah, like I'm looking at, like, you know, they were practice squad, whatever. But yeah, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah, so that's a position of need. I like that. I like that one. So is he number two on our list? Because I think we all agree Daquan Jones is number one. Is he number two on our list? Because I could also see like Leonard Floyd being a position, not only because like who do they have? They're losing A.J. Epinesa, Shaq Lawson, Leonard Floyd. So they only have Greg Rousseau, you know, like 20% of Von Miller and Kingsley Jonathan.
So there were a couple of players that I didn't even write down just because I thought Micah Hyde would retire. And I thought that Leonard Floyd would be too much money. So I didn't even put those guys down, even though they're positions of need. I mean, if you're looking at safety, maybe Taylor Rapp. He's 26 still. Then you're, also Dane Jackson. He's 27. I don't think the Bills are going to keep Tre'Davious White. So you're looking at Christian Benford and maybe Rasul Douglas is their top two. Dane Jackson's going to be the next guy with Taron Johnson as the nickel still maybe.
Do you think
so
that
Dane Jackson might be a guy?
I could see them signing Dane Jackson to another 1 year.
AJ Epinesa maybe. He's 25, 26. like if you're looking at defensive end, I'd pick Epenesa over Floyd, who's going to be 32.
Would you?
Epenesa had a really good year, but I don't know if they're going to be able to get him.
Let's see. Let's see what Epenesa's market value is. So Leonard Floyd is about $8 million a year per spot track. AJ Epenesa is $5.6 million. So he's more attainable. He's much younger than Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd, I mean, geez, he's just... Remember that first game? Now, we never want anyone to get injured, right? Like, we don't want guys getting injured.
Never.
Never. Never root for guys to get injured.
I know where you're going, but we still lost. So it doesn't, like, why were we even bringing it up? I don't understand. So,
what are we bringing up? What am I bringing up?
I don't even want to talk about it because we lost.
You mean the Aaron Rodgers game?
So on my list here, I got Daquan Jones, and then everybody else. Do you think like they're 50 million in the 40-something million in the hole? Are they going to keep all these guys? No.
Well, definitely not. I doubt they keep five of them.
Keep Daquan Jones and get rid of everybody else, and they're going to have to make some cuts on top of that, and that's going to include guys like Tre'Davious White.
John, you always loved David Edwards, the guard. You're a big fan of him. Yeah, he's not on your list. Top five.
So no, I mean,
this
maybe.
Is my. I think
so. I'm looking at the offense versus defense, and the like.
Don't do it based on money. Don't do it based on.
I'm getting into positional needs at this point. So the defense is going to be gutted this year because there's a ton of free agents, a ton of older players, a ton of injuries. The offense, at least starting wise, is going to be largely intact. They're going to have probably backup quarterback, backup running backs are going to be different. David Edwards is the only offensive lineman that isn't under contract. Quentin Morris isn't exclusive rights free agent, so he'll probably be back. All they have to do is tender that. The only major thing on the offense is wide receiver two, which was already an issue. So nothing's changed on the offense. The biggest thing is the defense.
The defense are losing two starters? I mean, that's not... They're losing a lot of depth on the defense.
Well, the defense... Like, Micah Hyde is one. Daquan Jones is two. And I would count Leonard Floyd is three.
That's fair.
Because Von Miller hasn't been anything. The offense, it's for a starters, Gabe Davis. Which, you know...
I love how people are like, we should keep him. Because he blocks well. Just like...
But we already knew, like, a year and a half ago that... Regardless of how well Gabe Davis did this year, good or bad, they weren't going to be able to assign him. It'd be too much. Even if he did bad, which he was very consistent. So, but still, he could command $10 million next year. The Bills aren't going to pay that.
What do you think his market value is on SpotTrack? Before I click on it, what do you think it is? If you had to guess.
I would say at least $10
million. $10 million a year, Mike?
10 to 15.
Oh, well, thanks for the range. 10 to 15.
Above.
I think it's more 10. I think it's going to be like 11.5 or something.
Well, that's very specific. You've already looked this up.
I'm going to say $10 million and $1.
11.6.
Okay, all right. We got some answers there. All right, let's see. $13.6
million. There you go.
You changed.
You did.
No, we're all in agreement on this. Like, we all knew it was going to be that much.
13.6. Would you ever, even if the Bills somehow created, like, they did the most amazing accounting known to mankind to, like, free up $13.6 million a year for the next 4 or 5 years, would you pay that much for Gabriel Davis?
No, because wide receiver two was already an issue when he was with the team.
Exactly. I've heard the owner of SpotTrack talk about this on other podcasts. It's just because of the market and his success. But I mean, he's had kind of a downfall in his career.
He's regressed. He had a better rookie season than he did any other year.
Yeah. I mean, it's not his fault, but like that Kansas City Chiefs game, the 13-second game, which is
that obviously helps him.
I mean, he
too,
peaked with like four touchdowns, like over 200 yards or whatever it was. Like, people are like, this guy's going to be good. Like, people are drafting him like so early in fantasy. Like, his name was out there, and he just hasn't lived up. He hasn't been terrible, but he has not lived up to that status. I mean, people were thinking like Stephon Diggs is Ja'Marr Chase, and he is, you know, T. Higgins or whatever. So has not been that case. I still think he's okay. Don't get me wrong. I would not go from paying him less than $1 million last year to all of a sudden $13.6 million. Like, if you're telling me you can keep him for, like, I don't know, 4 or 5, what would you say? I'd say him like 4 or 5 million. Like, that sounds about like.
And that's the thing. Like, even if he had a breakout year this year and had like an amazing year, well, obviously they can't keep him then either because he would be way too much. So
yeah,
it's like I already knew going into the year that wasn't going to happen. I'm happy that Khalil Shakir showed some things and Dalton Kincaid. You know, I'm a big Quentin Morris fan. So I think like everything else is fine. They still need that number two receiver. Like they kind of between like John Brown and Cole Beasley they've had in the past. I think something like that would be good for them.
I like how you listed all those good players. And then you said, I'm a fan of Quentin Morris. Like, okay, John, like, I don't think he's bad, but I don't think they ever use him. Like he's not.
Well, he's their third tight end. I mean, you're going to play Kincaid Knox over him, but I've always liked Morris. And like, if they're going to do something with Knox via trade or whatever, I'd be okay with that.
Because you got Morris in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kincaid's going to be good.
Yes, of course.
They're overpaying Knox.
Oh, for sure. Were they overpaying him before Kincaid got drafted, though?
Yes. And
it's just now he was... Okay. Was he over... Yes. Okay. All right. Fair. That was one... Is that the most questionable contract that you can remember by Brandon Bean? I think that's the one...
That's definitely up there for sure.
I mean, I think he's like top 9 now, top 9, top 10, tight end salary-wise. And you're like, okay, all right, that's interesting. Like, I wasn't upset that they re-signed him when they did, they extended him, but I was kind of
like, we were complaining about, like, before that happened, about, like, the drops and things. And it's like, okay, maybe improved a little bit and this and that, and then big contract. Like, oh, all right, I guess this is happening.
Yeah, like, I think he's pretty good, you know? Like, again, this isn't anything, like, just like a lot of these guys, it's not personal, but I'm glad that he's really good friends with Josh Allen, and I think they have a pretty decent chemistry. But I'm just not seeing enough out of him, and I think a lot of the Bills fans would agree. I mean, he's got some injury issues, like he missed 3 or 4 games this past season. Didn't really miss him, to be honest. We were kind of happy when he was gone because then Kincaid got most of the targets in that time frame. You know, they'd be splitting like 6 or 7 each a game, and all of a sudden, you know, Kincaid's getting 10 or 11 targets. You're like, the offense looks like it's humming, man.
You do got to give the Bills credit, though, that they drafted Kincaid in the first round after giving Knox a bigger contract within a year before that.
Oh, absolutely. They could have looked at that as, no, we got our guy. Why would we waste a pick on that? Instead, they draft. Yeah, for sure. Brandon Bean, instead of just looking at it positionally, look at it like, you know, how, just like when they drafted Osiris Torrance. I loved last year's draft, not only because they all panned out, at least the first 2 picks, for sure. But it's like they went against what they normally do, what they've ever done as a group, and they doubled down at positions where they kind of had, I mean, they had starters already at the offensive line. They didn't need to draft Osiris Torrance, and yeah, they did, and he was an upgrade.
And he was the only guy that played 100% of the snaps last year was Torrance.
Yeah, what a great pick. You know, what Bean normally did, and I know we're rehashing this a year after the draft, but he only drafted like guards or tackles or guys that could play both. He never drafted like a pure guard, like with that early of a pick that was like earlier than like the 6th round, I think. Like Cody Ford, well, he's a tackle, but you know, he could play some guard, 2nd rounder, you know, like that was just about it. Like Spencer Brown, tackle only, you know, like that was a 3rd round pick, right? So,
speaking of Spencer Brown, he looked pretty good this year.
He did. That's one of my things with, like, you know, I know we're going to put our greatest, you know, positional needs, we're going to list them, but offensive line is one of the few areas where it's going to be consistent next season, as long as they don't cut Mitch Morris to save cap. And if I'm Brandon Bean, like, I find a way to keep Mitch Morris. You do not want to take away like the offensive line stability around Josh Allen away. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to make any major decision. And he's one of their best offensive linemen. Keep Mitch Morris, keep Dawson. I mean, Deion Dawkins is still, I mean, all those guys are signed for at least one more season. Connor McGovern, you know, Osiris Torrance, like, You have a good offensive line. Keep them there. The least amount of sacks in the season. Okay, in the league. Sure. Keep them together. Do whatever you got to do. And then we worry about weapons, and then we do other things. But
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
So if I had to list like my top three, let me know what you guys think of this. Daquan Jones, which we already mentioned earlier. And then it gets kind of dicey. I liked Mike's thing about Micah Hyde and keeping the band together. But especially because we have so few safeties, it's tough. I think I might actually go on this one. I think I might go Cam Lewis at cornerback. I could see Dane Jackson, but like, I feel like Cam Lewis could actually play safety, or he played slot corner if Taron Johnson went down. Like, he might actually start at safety. So if not, he's like really good depth. I might go Daquan Jones, Cam Lewis, and just based on, not based on money, just based on guys that I like the way they played and I like to keep them. My third would probably be, I was going to say David Edwards for depth, but at the same time, we have Ryan Bates, who's like, you know, he might be a cap casualty at some point. I think I'd say Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd, Daquan Jones, Leonard Floyd, and Cam Lewis. It's kind of a weird trio, but what do you guys think? Like it, or would you trade, swap someone in or out for that?
I like Daquan Jones. I like Cam Lewis, actually had on my list for the same reasons that you listed. And he might actually be one of in my top three. Leonard Floyd, I think
we got to get AJ Epinesa in there.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. Epinesa, I was torn between Epinesa and Jackson, Dane Jackson, but Epinesa
and Micah Hyde, right, John?
Mm.
Right, John?
No, I'll go Jones, Lewis, and Epinesa.
Jones, Epinesa, Hyde.
Mike, is it more of a nostalgic?
It's nostalgia.
Yeah.
I just think Hyde's going to retire, and I think Floyd is going to start to decline, and he's going to come in too much money at the same time. I like Lewis because corner slash safety slash special teams, he can do different things. I'm going to not do rap because of the, you know, he could get more penalties.
Rap is up there. I do like Rap. He's probably my fourth or fifth.
He's top five, and Dane Jackson is like three or four, or he might even be three. It's hard if I had to list them off. I don't know if they're how many of those guys they're going to get anyway.
As of right now, though, John, at least you could say with Dane Jackson, like the Bills have right now a Tre'Davious White. Of course, he's coming off a major injury, but he will.
I think they're going to cut White. So it's going to be Benford, and even if they kept White, he's not going to start this season. It's going to be Benford and Douglas and Johnson in the slot, and then the only other guys they have is Saran Neal and Kyrie Elam. So cornerback is kind of a need too.
Yeah, but they haven't cut White yet. I'm gonna wait till that happens. I saw an interesting way where Joe B was talking about extending Tre'Davious White to kind of like make that a little bit easier for him since it'll help move money around. And I'd be for that. I'd be extending White and then like lowering the cap hit if that's what it meant. So
that's going to be tough. It took him like well over a year to come back from his first injury. And now he has another at least 1 year injury.
Yeah. But I feel like you kind of got to take it like injury to injury. I don't know if you, just because it took him a while. I mean, look at Von Miller. Jeez. Like he returned after 9 months of his other ACL tear. And this one, you know, almost a year and a, well, what, 2 months?
Von Miller is going to be interesting. If he's not good to go in September, then he's done.
I mean, he's got to be good to go. They can't get out of that contract. Like, there's nothing they can do.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm just saying from a performance standpoint, if he's not good to go in September, he's done.
Oh, yeah. Man. Okay. So Mike's a big Hyde proponent. Mike, I thought we were trying to get away from nostalgia in our lives, you know, like the music, the celebrities, like trying to get into new things, man. Like, and I don't get me wrong, Hyde and Poyer are definitely the best safety tandem I think we've ever had as Bills fans. And I want to keep it.
Bro, Micah Hyde is not 1997.
They've both lost the step.
He's not Blink 182 in the Warped Tour. Come on, man.
Micah Hyde is 2020. I'm over mid-90s neat nostalgia.
Only watching the same movies I watched in my, you know, teenagers and early 20s and the same music. Yeah. Hyde is up there though. Like, you could interchange out like Hyde or Taylor Rapp or Dean Jackson. Like, if we couldn't get one of those guys, like, you know, Cam Lewis or whatever, like, I could see going, like, if you could get Micah Hyde on like a 1 year, $2 or $3 million contract, absolutely. And he might stay for something like that, because no matter what, you have good depth and you possibly have your starter that's like, you know, pretty decent. But at the same time,
even more important than any of that is they're on the cusp. You don't want to be the guy that leaves one season too soon when you know you're on the cusp.
They could use him as a leader, too. He is probably the biggest leader out of this entire group that we mentioned.
That's the only thing that John kept coming back for. Like, all the times he wanted to quit right when we were on the cusp of breaking out. He just didn't want to miss out. Now, he was mistaken.
He should have bailed. John, what are you doing, man? And I wouldn't have blamed him.
It would have been the right choice.
What do you guys?
But it was unknowable at the time.
From a standpoint of positions of need, how would you rank the Bills' positions of need, assuming all of the current free agents are gone?
Yes. Well, I think the biggest hole is defensive tackle, and then defensive end. Hello. And then safety. Oh. And then
there he is.
I think that's kind of how I list them.
Good boy.
Defensive tackle, defensive end, then safety. Backup running back too, which is kind of a weird, sneaky need.
Yeah. So I'm pretty close. I definitely end, tackle, safety, and receiver. I would lump in as the top tier. Secondary tier, I see definitely backup running back, guard, linebacker, backup quarterback, and kicker punter.
Would you put guard over tackle? Because I'd argue they don't have anyone behind. Oh, no, they do. Who's their backup tight end now? Vandegaard or something? Vandemark?
Yeah, they got Vandemark.
Okay. All right. I like him as a backup. They could still upgrade, but I like him.
Actually, you know what? I would say I would say guard slash center even, because Mitch Morse has started to get up there and he's had a lot of concussions in his career.
But Ryan Bates can play center, so I don't really even consider that one. Like, guard and center, like,
that's true. They got Bates. Yeah.
Bates is like a good swing guard. Like, he can play both guard spots. He can play center. So like, they're really good at backup center guard. That's probably the strongest positions ever back.
I think OL is like, is that secondary thing is just like, you can never have enough guys on the line for either side. But yeah, for my top four, it would be in not any particular order. It would be receiver, safety, tackle, and edge.
Defensive tackle. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is where we're kind of like getting to. So we kind of went over all the Bills pending free agents, who we'd like to keep if we had a choice. Obviously, they're not going to keep all those guys, and they're going to keep some guys that we might not even care. Like, I like the AJ Epenesa, which you guys were bringing up, because he could be the next Shaq Lawson for the team, where you sign him to a 1 or 2 year contract. I think he'll probably demand more on the open market, but like, I mean, he's a steady guy. Like, Shaq Lawson is getting up there in age. He definitely dropped off play wise this year. You know, maybe age is finally starting to keep up with him. You know, they could use a guy like AJ Epenesa, but the youth at that position, I feel like they draft someone though. I feel like they draft someone. It's on day two or day three to replace AJ Epenesa, but
they could do both. They could draft a guy in the first round and keep Epenesa.
I'd be fine with that.
Because Von Miller is like a total unknown at this point. So they just have Rousseau and Kingsley Jonathan.
Give a prediction right now on Von Miller in 2024. Does he play the same shitty way that he did in 2023? Or does he come back to 2022 Von Miller? If you have to guess. Mike?
He's back.
He's back. John?
I don't know. I'm on the fence.
I think he's back. I think he's back. I think he's not what he was this last season, but I think he's like 80% of 2022 Von Miller. 70-80%, which is still, you know, you're talking like probably Leonard Floyd numbers, which I would take at this point. I mean, we take anything at this point from Von Miller, but the only caveat I'll say is if there's nothing regarding his personal life in between now and then, which is, you know, a big if, because there's 7 months until the season starts. So plenty of shit that Von Miller can, you know, roll into just based on his past. So I say he comes back. I think he comes back with a chip on his shoulder this season.
Yeah, it's tough. That, like, those injuries, like, you can't. Yeah, all these people saying, "Oh, that Von Miller is a terrible contract." Like, well, yeah, he got hurt after. Like, he was playing well until he got hurt.
He was on fire.
Yeah, you can't like blame Bean for like making that contract when he was doing great for us, and then he got hurt suddenly. So it's just unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. It is. I hate ragging on him, but at the same time, like, he was playing like significant snaps, not significant, but like a good amount of snaps coming down the stretch. And it's like the Bills coaching staff and training staff obviously thought he was good enough to play. And if you are able to play, you should still be able to make an impact, maybe not a huge impact, but some impact whatsoever. And he finally started to kind of show it towards the end of the season, but well, not
part of it is like, how are there other defensive ends playing in edge rushers? They weren't playing that well down the stretch either. So they're like, well, let's give Miller a chance because these other guys aren't cutting it.
Yeah, that could also be it. Maybe that's Eric Washington's fault, the defensive line coach. I'm so glad he took that job in Chicago. I'm just kidding. The whole unit as a whole, I mean, we really could have used some pressure. Like, imagine if the Bills had gotten the San Francisco 49ers type pressure against the Chiefs in their game, the Bills would have won that game. So anyway, those are our lists. So let's start our preliminary list. We're going to talk a little bit more about it next week, and I have some great tweets to read on it next week. But let's see. Let's get our big board.
Do you think Mitch Morse ever, like, totally regrets his decision?
Mitch Morse? Doing what?
Yeah.
He played for
the Bills.
Yeah.
Oh, it's instead of staying with
just the Chiefs. Just what? Absolutely horrible timing.
He won one with them.
Came over to the Bills in 18. No.
Oh, he didn't even win one with them?
No. He came to the Bills in 18, and then the Chiefs won the Super Bowl in 19, right?
They won in 21, or 22 and 23.
All right, we don't need to go over every one. It's fine.
Then 23.
Is...
Man, all-time terrible move.
Is Mitch Morse bad luck on our team? Every year he's been here, we haven't won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but when he was out, they were terrible. Remember those games? Bad snaps and the miscues and all that?
Yeah, that's funny. I never thought about that with Mitch Morse. So I'm going to put – so if we're going to put a preliminary list together, Bills needs – the big board of Bills needs – wide receiver is going to go first, right? I know John kind of alluded to it, but Mike, you agree wide receiver being the biggest need for the Buffalo Bills. Like, if they were to take all things being equal and they needed to either, like – sign one big free agent or draft someone in the first round, all things being equal, what position would you pick?
You guys both say wide receiver?
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Do you want me to tell you my reasoning, or do you agree, Mike? Do you want to go first?
I don't know. Part of me feels defensive line.
Are we saying want or what we think they will do?
No, want.
I feel like Josh, like, you can sometimes plug and play. Like, we don't give rookies a chance. Like, draft some guys and...
So Willie, this is a really deep wide receiver class.
Like, Kincaid came in immediately and made a huge impact.
So I think with they're going to do, and I think the bigger need is defense, because we stated safety, tackle, and edge. Obviously, it all depends on free agency, but there's a big need on defense. However, my want would probably be receiver, because the more weapons, the better. They haven't had those weapons, and we're also concerned that Stephon Diggs might have lost a step. If you look at the defense, McDermott, despite a lot of the injuries, by the time he gets to the end, you know, Bernard being out might have been the straw that broke the camel's back. But they had a great run at the end of the season with most of the defense being injured. I think McDermott's defensive scheme makes up for that. Whereas on offense, we're not sure yet on Joe Brady. The more weapons, the better. I would still pick receiver first out of all the needs.
I would. I everything you just mentioned, John. I mean, you're losing Gabriel Davis, so you're essentially losing your wide receiver too. And then for the Stephon Diggs thing, like you mentioned, it was we don't know if he's taking a step back. Like, you might have to fill a hole and possibly, hopefully, get an upgrade over what you have there. If there was ever a year to double dip at wide receiver, especially with 10 picks, I think this is the season. If they don't end up signing one or whatever, like, I could absolutely see that as one of the ways to upgrade this offense. I mean, the Bills can only go as far as, you know, I think he does, to Mike's point, he does take players in and, like, make them better. I mean, a lot of players have had their best seasons with Josh Allen, like Cole Beasley comes to mind. I mean, Stephon Diggs, I think, you know, it's, you might be able to give him a lesser player, but why keep giving him, like, nothing against Khalil Shakir. I think he's a good player, but I don't think anyone would confuse him for Ja'Marr Chase, right? Like, let's try to get him another Stephon Diggs.
No, Shakir's, I love Shakir. I love Kincaid, but Shakir is going to be great in the slot, I think. They need another guy on the outside.
Agreed. So we need another wide. I still think that's my biggest need. After that, I think I'm going to go. Mike said the defensive line. I completely agree with that. I'm going to go defensive tackle just because of numbers. And right now they haven't re-signed Daquan Jones. Now, if they do, maybe that changes slightly, but I'm going tackle over safety or defensive end.
I agree. And if they do re-sign Daquan Jones, I would prioritize safety next, I think. I do like Kingsley Jonathan a lot. And of course we don't know about
that. Are you taking out your bias for having the same name?
Well, I mean, first name versus last name, it's a little bit different. But I am taking out the bias.
Okay.
I would say if they resend Daquan Jones, I would say safety's next priority and then edge. But it's really close. Like those, like all four of those things for me, receiver, tackle, edge, safety, those are all super high. And then I have like six other things that are like definitely the next year.
So, John, it's funny. John doesn't even mention like Greg Rousseau or Von Miller. He's like Kingsley Jonathan. It's like my favorite. John talks up Kingsley Jonathan more than the other two of us for sure.
Hey, remember why I talked up Terrell Bernard and you guys are like, ah, I don't know, whatever. Whatever, John.
Yeah, that is true.
Well, your middle name is Terrell.
and Bernard is our nickname for you off air.
The Nard Dog.
So I can... no, Don, you definitely called that one. I was not sure about Terrell Bernard, and you definitely deserve that.
Can you imagine both him and Milano next year? I mean, they're going to be fine. And they get Dorian Williams, who's looking pretty good, too.
Well, I can imagine them because they were together for like four or five games before they
there
got
you go.
So, like, it was looking good. Yeah, and Dorian Williams. So we got some linebacker depth.
Speaking of my second tier of needs,
secondary.
I would still put linebacker on there because Dotson is a free agent.
Dotson.
And Medikevich.
We got Dotson here.
We don't have Dotson here.
No.
He's a free agent. We don't have Dotson.
Spectre's on the roster, but and we don't know if Milano's going to be 100%. Like, you don't know with these injuries, right? We know Milano's awesome, but come back for injury, we haven't seen it yet. So I would put linebacker as a second tier need, along with, you mentioned running back, which I completely agree with, because all they have is James Cook and Nyheim Hines on the roster. I think Darrington Evans will be back on a reserve future contract, but that's about it. Honestly, though, running back for me has always been a plug and play. You know, I complained about it for years during the drought. Like, why are they drafting all these first and second round running backs or trading for LeSean McCoy when they should be trying to get a better quarterback? But I will say running back is a backup. Backup quarterback, Kyle Allen's out. They could use somebody besides, you know, after Josh Allen. And then kicker, punter, both those positions they could look at for sure. And I think I mentioned earlier guard, you know, or offensive line in general, just have some more depth. But those are all second to those top four that we discussed, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, after those top four, like, you could take any of those positions you just mentioned in, like, day three, and I wouldn't be upset whatsoever. Like, you could take a backup quarterback, I wouldn't care. You could take a kicker on day three, whatever. A punter on day three, I don't care. You could take an offensive lineman. They should absolutely, with one of their 10 picks, draft an offensive lineman somewhere.
Sure. And again, free agency is before the draft. So, like, any of these things could be addressed before the draft even happens.
They could re-sign David Edwards.
They could.
Could you see, like, the David Edwards thing is interesting. I could see them, because I do think they liked him. Could you see them, if they did end up cutting Mitch Morse, like, they'd play Ryan Bates. As of right now, they would have Ryan Bates as their starting center. And then they would need that backup interior offensive line help, and they could re-sign David Edwards with the money they'd save there. So
I don't see them cutting Mitch Morse. I could see them restructuring his contract, but I don't see them cutting him. I think
they'd have to force him to take a pay cut, I think, at this point. I don't know how much restructuring they can do, because I think he only has 1 year left.
Oh, is that right?
I think so.
Or they could extend him and then push all them.
Yeah, extend him. Absolutely.
Push it forward, you know, it's fine.
The only thing that scares me about Mitch Morse, though, is, you know, the thing that scares us every year with Mitch Morse, and we've just been lucky. He's got one more season on it, so. Is it concussions? That's all I'm saying.
I almost want to put center. Is it like a 1.5 tier? Like, because of that, really?
Yeah, but you don't need to put it on your list because we have Ryan Bates for another 2 years. So, like, we have
Ryan Bates is my primary guy for center.
But we have, as of right now, like, we have a really good starting center, and then we have a decent backup. That's
all. I know Bates can do it, but I don't think he's good enough to do it.
He's done it.
He's done it, but not well. He can do guard better.
Like, could they do it better? Sure. Yeah, he's done. Yeah, of course. Well,
he's a better guard than center.
No argument here.
He could do both, but I don't think he can do center that.
No arguments here. Agreed. And I believe he played tackle in college. So, like, you know, these are all, yeah. Offensive line, honestly, like, I just take anyone. Like, ideally, sure. Like, could it be a guard / center guy? Sure. But would I be upset if they draft another tackle to compete with Vandermark?
Well, they might do both. I mean, they had 10 picks.
Yeah, let's do it. So we have wide receiver, our first tier, which is the most important tier right now, and this can be filled up as free agency goes along. We have wide receiver. We used to, like, last season, we kind of kept that open-ended. We said wide receiver / tight end, like, basically like a receiving weapon, and we got one last year. So, like, that was good, but it's just, you know, with the way that this is going, again, this season, like, we could use another one.
For sure.
So, this time, though, wide receiver, we don't need a third tight end, unless they end up getting rid of Knox or something, right? But even so, I don't think the two tight end system was the best, where I wasn't like, oh, they're...
Plus, it's like a Quentin Morris.
Quentin Morris.
Yeah, they'll tender... I'm pretty confident they'll tender the exclusive rights free agent. I think he'll be back.
I would agree there. Defensive tackle, I have as my second need, but, like, we're kind of after wide receiver. It's kind of like defensive tackle, safety, defensive end, edge rusher.
Those are all very important.
I mean, everything being equal, like, if they don't go wide receiver in the first round, I feel like they're going to lean tackle just because of numbers. And I know I keep talking draft. I mean, free agency has to happen. I could see them, you know, even if they sign Daquan Jones. If they signed Daquan Jones, I could see that one moving down. I could see safety being a bigger need.
That's what I was saying.
There's no way DeMar Hamlin, they figure, as the starting safety opposite Jordan Poyer, right?
No, and Poyer's lost a step, too.
Yeah, that's scary. So
safety is pretty huge. That's why I put it over edge.
Yes. I would agree there, because at least we have two, like, if Von Miller is, you know, halfway decent, or at least a glimmer of his 2022 self, like, at least we have two reliable starters, right, in Rousseau and Von Miller. Safety, we don't even, at this point, we don't really have one for sure.
Okay.
The good thing is, though, Sean McDermott is really good at coaching up safeties, so he might be able to take a day two, day three pick and coach him up to starting level within the first season, right? So maybe not as big of a need.
McDermott's scheme has been really good with so all good. The injuries and everything. It's been incredible, but they can't sustain having all those guys. You know, you could see it by the end of the year. It's like, all right, you can't. They can't do it anymore.
I feel like we're one of the few podcasts out there that really defends Sean McDermott. Like, we know he's not perfect, but, and he makes some bad calls at times for sure. But I mean, we just watched it in the Super Bowl this, you know, a week ago. I mean, there were some questionable calls by Kyle Shanahan too. Like, there are areas like the coin flip in overtime. You know, his players didn't know that there was no end of the game, that the game would keep going. It didn't just end at, like, you know, the first quarter or whatever, that there were multiple quarters of overtime.
Did they know that it was the playoffs and the Super Bowl, that, like, this wasn't a regular season game?
Yeah, I know. I know. So when they won the coin toss,
it wasn't going to be a next week to replay it.
Exactly. It was like they didn't know the rules, though, either, because, like, they won the coin toss, and they said, we want to receive. And everyone's like, why? Because you would want to see what the other person has to do in order to see what you have to do, right? So if they only got a field goal, well, then you know you need a touchdown, which is basically what happened with the Chiefs.
Well, I don't know. I think the whole, like, deferred and receive, I think that's all overblown. Like, just if you score a touchdown, then it's on the other team. If you don't, well, then, well, you fucked up, because, I don't know. I could see you picking either way. But it would impact your choices on that drive if you chose to defer, right? Or receive, sorry.
Well, it feels like you're an advantage, because if the team that you just played against, or that just got the ball, scores a field goal like the 49ers did, then you're like, well, field goal is a minimum. Ideally, I get the touchdown to win it all, right?
Yeah, the 49ers should have gone for a touchdown on the drive.
Yeah, they should have. But if they don't and they miss it, then, you know, the Chiefs know that all they have to do is kick the field goal. But yeah, I mean, I think you're an advantage, because then you're just kind of, isn't that what happens in college football? Each team gets a possession. But I think you're at an advantage when you're the second team, because you see what the first team just has to do, or did or didn't do. So
yeah, I mean, either way.
But anyway, Kyle Shanahan, questionable decision. I mean, probably one of the best coaches in the NFL, like, it's just the way it is. Anyway, just trying to give Sean McDermott a quick shout out. I know he's not perfect. I know a lot of people wanted him fired.
Yeah, halfway through the season. How crazy is that? Everybody's like, oh, McDermott should get fired. Oh, I'll just win the division. It's fine. Again.
I know. They could have easily. If that team had given up on him, I could definitely see the argument for possibly firing him. But that team just kind of...
And there was that article that came out at the same time and all this other stuff, and... They're like, whatever, we're just going to win out and win the division.
I know. That was impressive. I saw a funny meme. It was from, I think it was like NFL memes or something. You know, when they came out with, like, the NFL came out with, like, you know, Rookie of the Year, you know, Defensive Player of the Year awards. This NFL meme page came out with, like, Jihadist of the Year, and they gave it to Sean McDermott. Like, okay, that's pretty funny. Like, I don't get offended by that or whatever. It's just like, that was a poor choice of words by Sean McDermott. I don't think he meant it, but... speaking of DeMar Hamlin, how great...
The thing is that the whole thing happened a few years ago, and he had already addressed it, and, like, the article is just coming out now for everybody else to see. So that was the messed up part about it. Like, it was already done, and, like, he had to readdress it for the new players who weren't there a couple of years ago. Like, that was the only difference.
The new players that didn't know if Sean McDermott really did support ISIS and terrorists. Yeah, that's fair. Isn't that funny, though? Like, obviously affected, like, the former players or coaches or whatever, because they're like, can you believe that he did this? Like, that was in the story. It obviously was, it affected the players, right? So they wouldn't have brought it up at all. Can you believe DeMar Hamlin didn't win Comeback Player of the Year, by the way?
It's all. I mean, Josh Allen should have been MVP. So it's popularity contests.
And the Bills will never.
Just like the Pro Bowl. So whatever.
And the Bills will never win a popularity contest, will they?
No. The NFL hates the Bills.
I saw an interesting tweet. It said, Lamar Jackson winning the MVP award after finishing the season 15th in passing yards, 12th in passing touchdowns, and 9th in total touchdowns, while having the number one defense in the NFL. Like, and then I read something that like 15 out of the last 18 MVPs were players from teams that had the best record in the NFL. So I think that's all it comes down to. And the Bills probably won't ever have the best record in the NFL. So,
yeah. And it's like, why does it always have to be a quarterback? Like, there's 32 quarterbacks, and you know, how many offensive linemen are starting, and defensive linemen, and all these other players? Like, it should be the most, you should almost condense it down to first look at each team. Who's the most valuable player on that team? And they narrow down to 32 that way, and then narrow down from there. But it's always going to be a quarterback from like one of the winning teams.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'd argue a few years ago when the Titans were really good and they beat the Ravens in the playoffs, Derrick Henry was the MVP of that team.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, running back. I mean, there was lots of running backs at one point in time, and now it's more quarterbacks than running backs. I mean, who was the last defensive player? Lawrence Taylor in the mid-80s?
Yeah.
Like, that's a really long time ago. I don't know if that's right.
I mean, if it somehow went to the Steelers, like, you'd say T.J. Watt was the MVP of the Steelers, right?
Yeah. So, like, yeah, put it to each team, right? So it could be T.J. Watt and the Steelers, and then who would it be on the Bengals? Like, and then figure out who it is for that division, and then figure out who it is for the AFC East. Okay, so it's Allen, and then it's whoever, and like, do it that way. Like, I don't know. You're just voting. It doesn't make sense. Whatever they're doing right now doesn't make sense. The Pro Bowl doesn't make sense. The Pro Bowl hasn't made sense in decades. So whatever. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. It's all rigged anyway.
It's all rigged, even though the Bills won none of the season awards. They had only one All Pro. They had, like, you know, two Pro Bowlers on their team. You know, just complete disrespect. Too bad they couldn't do anything with it. You know, really win down the line or whatever. Just wasn't in the cards this season. But you know, you got to be excited for the Bills this season. They are going to lose some players, but you know, I think this is
the offense is going to be largely intact. They're going to have different running backs behind Cook. They're going to hopefully have
an upgraded wide receiver too.
Upgraded wide receiver, but everything else on the offense is going to look the same. There's going to be a lot of turnover on the defense.
Just think if you brought in, let's say, a first round wide receiver this year, like, just think about how much harder Stephon Diggs is going to practice and get ready so that he doesn't get shown up by this guy, this rookie, you know? I don't know. I think that's still the play, unless it's just like, unless you know how you're drafting in fantasy, like the tier of wide receivers just goes down a steep hill when it gets your turn.
It really depends. Like last year, there was like, what was it, four receivers that were like in the top, and they all went 1, 2, 3, 4 in the middle of the, it was like 20, 21, 22, 23, something like that. And then like the Bills are obviously drafting in the late 20s, so they're all gone. So that's why they picked Kincaid, which was great. But might be a similar thing this year where all those top tier receivers they have on their board are gone, and maybe they go defense, which is my prediction. They go defense in the first round. But we'll see. We got lots of days between now and the draft to analyze all that.
Yeah, lots of time. Lots of time. It's gonna be a fun time, man. This is we're finally in the off season. We're in the swing of things. Yeah, this is going to be fun. We'll start talking about potential free agents at some point. We're going to finalize our draft board, read some tweets next week, our big needs board, our big board of Bills positional needs, and go from there. Is there anything you guys want to add before we put a close on this one, John or Mike? All right, I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode. If you could, please leave us a review. Tell a friend, you know, help us reach a few more listeners if you could, because odds are if you're enjoying this podcast, you have a good sense of humor, you're a big Bills fan, you have other friends that are the same way as you. So let them know about us. My sister-in-law, my wife's sister, super nice, one of the nicest people ever. She always, like, recommends, like, she's a nurse, so whenever she tells her patients that she's or that they if they just somehow mention that they're a Bills fan, she like tries to tell them about our podcast, right? So she mentioned recently to a guy that she was dating even, or that she had met, you know, and went on a couple of dates with, like, oh, you know, my brother-in-law does a podcast. He's like, oh, what's it called? He's like, oh, Circling Waves. He's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I think I've heard it a few times. And I'm just like, what, only a few times? So he's not a regular subscriber or listener. I'm like, please dump this guy. Do not keep dating this guy. He does not sound, I don't trust him. So, but yeah, appreciate anyone that, you know, obviously, shares our info and helps other people find us. So, appreciate all you guys listening. Like I said, for me, Nate, or I'll start with John, signing off for John.
Hey, only 67 days until the NFL draft. Go Bills.
For Mike?
Go Bills.
And for me, Nate, they may not keep the band together with Hyde and Poyer this year, but they'll keep the band of CTW together. Go Bills, and we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.
'Kay.
You, if just in case your plane goes down, maybe you should like have a Word document with all the logins and everything. Any crucial information that we should have?
That's a good idea. So you can keep it going in my absence.
Yeah, maybe we'll dedicate an episode to you or something, or half an episode or segment.
In loving memory.
That's funny. Anyways, so let's talk draft.
Well,
in loving memory.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. So with the one app.
So like all just like, yeah, like maybe you could get a subscription to like If I Die app or something. Where it would email us in case you don't like, it's like a dead man switch. So if you don't log in after a month, it emails us all the passwords.
Is there an If I Die app? Is it?
I don't know.
We should create it. We should.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
That's a really good idea. You just
it like automatically deletes your search history.
You.